listening to Pod 4 Ham, a podcast that's all about the musical Hamilton, taking it one track at a time. Every episode features different groups of interesting people talking about a single track from the original Broadway cast recording of Hamilton. Visit us online at pod4ham, that's the numeral 4, .com. Follow us on Twitter at pod4ham, or you can visit The Incomparable at theincomparable.com.
I was younger than you are now when I was given my first command. I led my men straight into a massacre. I witnessed their deaths firsthand. I made every mistake and felt the shame rise in me. And even now I lie awake, knowing history has its eyes on me.
This is Pod for Ham. I'm Moises Chuyan. On this episode of the show, we're talking about History Has Its Eyes on You. Joining me, incomparable stalwart, Mr. Andy Yannacco. How are you, Andy?
I'm doing moderately neato.
And one might say, here comes the general indeed, so would you please rise up for Camille Washington. How are you, Camille? Welcome to The Incomparable.
I am doing just wunderbar. Thank you for asking.
Wunderbar, wunderbar, wunderbar. So, we have one of the shortest songs, if not the shortest song, in the whole show. And we may have so many feelings and emotions about it that it ends up being the longest episode of the show, much to Jason's chagrin. But I guess to jump right in, we have History Has Its Eyes on You, a song that reverberates throughout the rest of the show, echoes and has threads that are picked up and repeated, and it becomes somewhat thematic across the rest of the work from this point forward. So there's a lot that we could say, but because of the brief nature of it and the fact that it does concatenate throughout the rest of the show, I think we're just going to kind of free associate on this. Camille, before we started, you said you had a lot of feelings, you had a lot of emotions, a lot of things
yeah.
that you're screaming to get out. Things that you feel about this song. So how about you start us off?
Well, whenever I hear the song, it's hard for me to like control my emotions and also my body kind of. I mean, last name aside, I really identify with the George Washington character. So the whole commitment to honor and, I mean, the notion of history having its eyes on you every second. I mean, we forget how young all of the characters are, but Washington stands as, you know, sort of an older, more experienced figure, and that all comes through in the song.
Andy, how do you feel about this song? Is there a particular reason that you were thrilled that this was one of the ones that you were put on the boards to talk about?
Yeah, I'd say so, because there are a few themes that kind of tie every single one of these songs together, though that ties the whole show together, and that is the idea that the whole show starts off with Hamilton not wanting to be in this, what he regards as this backwater island, and living a very, very small life that makes no impact. And part of it was that he wanted to be a big guy. He wanted to accomplish big, huge things, and not so much to create a better world, but so that people would know his name. And I think that the entire one of the themes that runs throughout the entire story is the idea that there's a lot of different ways that people can know your name, but you may not have any control over how your story gets told. And so this is the entire Washington is in the songs that they've had together before this one, definitely being painted as a mentor figure or a father figure. And sometimes that takes the theme of, I am walking the road 10 or 15 years ahead of you. I have been where you are now, and I'm going to tell myself what I would tell myself if I could send that message into the past. And he's saying, look, I'm fading into the background right now, And the things that you do that don't make you look very good are going to stick with you for a long, long, long time. And people are going to talk, and people are going to try to interpret and reinterpret what you do. They're going to be picking up the bigger the stage, the bigger the audience, and the bigger discussion and debate over the stuff that you do. So be ready for all that. And if you just want to be loud and make a noise and have your words written, be aware that there might be something better and more important to deal with instead of just having the loudest voice.
Now, the line, "Who lives, who dies, who tells your story," reverberates throughout the rest of the show. And we get, for my money, in kind of with what Andy was saying, I would say maybe a more sentimental side of the Washington Hamilton dynamic in this song than their previous ones, where it's much more it's much more personable. In the previous songs where they've appeared together, it's a little bit more school teacher and pupil, and here it's more almost brother to brother, in the way that it feels. How do you feel about the dynamic between Washington and Hamilton at this point, and what this song does to that, Camille?
I mean, I think that you're definitely right that we are seeing more of that personal connection between Washington and Hamilton. I mean, earlier in the show, or actually, I'm not, is it earlier? Hamilton is sort of shrugging off Washington's, you know, cautioning of him. And here, Washington sort of takes a more gentle approach and shares some real feeling. And I feel like we also need to say that Christopher Jackson's performance of this is just like so powerful, the things that his voice does, and he just brings like the right gravitas and also sensitivity to the performance. It's just like incredible every time I hear it.
Yeah, you can give him a radically smaller number of lines, and he's able to do much more with those emotionally. That one line in particular that just gets me emotionally each time I listen to this as he sings it is, "When I was young and dreamed of glory." And it's not the words necessarily, it's the way that he holds the vowel in the word glory. It just, you feel it every single time. In the way that you don't necessarily feel every last thing in a cast recording, where it may be something that strikes you completely differently in performance. But that's one of those little notes of performance that feel like the kind of live theater experience that is why people say, well, oh, why don't you just record them and play them in theaters and let everybody see them and not come and see it live? That's some of that kind of electricity that you really get in a much fuller way seeing a show live, as opposed to listening to a recording or watching a recording when they, you know, air things on Great Performances on PBS, that sort of thing. Are there any particular parts of the song, Andy, that get you emotionally, or that strike you in particular as standouts? A good showcase for our friend Mr. Jackson.
Yeah, it really is just that tone that Washington and the sort of rapprochement that they have between each other that you can't help but think back to. It seems like a bookend with another with a Meet Me Inside, where Washington is trying to calm Hamilton down. Hamilton is not having it. It seems as though Hamilton is about to just have a fight with Washington, where Washington's saying, "Son," and Hamilton is always coming back, "Call me son one more time." Mm-hmm. And now it seems as though it's so poignant, because it really does seem like this is the closing of a chapter in Hamilton's life. And as we see in other songs, where since Hamilton has tied so much of his destiny and his power to his relationship with Washington, if Washington goes away from politics, what happens to Hamilton's power? So you have to. I haven't seen this, of course, but you have to imagine there's a little bit of not only him being aware that the country is losing a great man and he's losing a great boss, but also what happens to me after this? Is this going to be a huge setback that I can't come back from? Maybe he's starting to realize that I am like the attack dog, both to help out my country and to help out Washington, but also because that's kind of who I am. How much of that have I been able to get away with only because I am tied so closely to Washington? And what happens once I lose that shield? So it's not. So it's not really. It really is tone more than anything else, and the fact that these two people are. It's almost a love song between two men, practically. I mean, I almost had this imagining of a father on his deathbed, knowing that hey, my son's about to leave. I'll probably be gone by the time he sees me next. Here are the words that I want to leave him with, and I really hope to God that he listens. But okay, good. It looks like he's actually receptive to what I'm saying.
Andy touched on how this continues to cascade through the rest of the show. Are there notes in this song, bits of influence that this song has on the rest of the show as it is to come, that you find particularly interesting or poignant, Camille?
Well, I mean, I think the example that Washington sets in the first part of the song, when he talks about leading his men straight into a massacre and witnessing their deaths, I think it sets the stakes in a way that they hadn't been set before. And I think that we get, for Hamilton certainly, that really resonated with him, and it placed not a seed of doubt necessarily in his mind, but made him more cognizant of the larger picture of, you know, perhaps thinking a little bit beyond his own legacy. I mean, of course, we know that Hamilton is still very much fixated on his legacy, but sort of broadening that out and thinking a little bit more about the ripple effect of the choices that he's making as he's, you know, climbing the ladder.
And we have something of an answering to the young reckless men in the story of tonight who were saying that, you know, this is them, you know, striking out, and they're going to be this and they're going to be that. And Washington is really for me casing one of the biggest overriding themes of the show, the question of glory and legacy and what that means, and what parts of that actually get communicated historically over time. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like we've covered the 1.5 minute song in the show reasonably well. If you have any closing thoughts, any things that you love, things that frustrate you, do you wish that this song were longer? Do you think that it does what it needs to do and gets out the door and is a good example of Miranda's ability to be concise? Is this long rambling question a great example of somebody who isn't engaged with that ability? Closing thoughts from either of you, feel free to jump in.
I mean, I definitely think Lynn did a great job. I don't think it needs to be a breath longer. I think it packs such a powerful punch, and it's made all the more effective because of how brief it is. And also just like the line, "History has its eyes on me." I say that to myself, like in the grocery store when I'm contemplating, like, you know, chicken versus pork, man. I don't know.
Right. If you don't get the organic kale, then that's a choice.
Yeah, history has its eyes on me. Can make a mistake.
Andy?
No, I don't think it could be longer. I think that I love how there's people who haven't really – who certainly haven't heard the soundtrack tend to identify Hamilton as, oh, well, it's the hip-hop history thing. And that sort of conjures in people's minds, oh, well, it's just nothing but like onstage rap battles between people who are fighting, when there's so many different tones of these different songs. And when you have remember, this is coming at the end of a war, and there has been a lot of really fierce sort of confrontations between people. And now you have, again, this sort of love song, this tender moment between two people when a relationship is ending. And so why let it linger? Why draw it out farther than it's going to go? And knowing that after this hunk of the musical, now we're starting into the, okay, well, we won the war, we have independence, what happens next? And now all the people that were fighting for a common goal, which is to free ourselves from the British, are now now being starting to jockey for position. So there's going to be a lot more time for the longer, more boisterous sort of songs. But the whole theme of, again, who lives, who dies, who tells your story, it does. I agree with you. It's such a powerful idea, even if you're living a life that isn't quite as big as Hamilton's or Washington's, where you wonder, will people understand that my heart was in the right place when I did this or said this to this person, or if I did a piece of work and published it, that it was okay? Did people understand that at least I was trying hard? And what will people think of me when I'm no longer here to defend myself? And it is a really cool theme. Before, when I had to pause, I had to click back into my lyrics window for the song we're actually talking about, because I was actually reading the lyrics for Burn. That's the song in which Eliza, where after Eliza finds out about Hamilton's affair, and that's the most incredibly powerful thing. And we're not talking about this song, but just to tie it into what we're talking about for this track, it's like, here is I'm so hurt and I want to strike back at you. And what's the worst thing I can possibly do is I saved every single letter that you wrote me. I have all of our correspondence. You know what? I'm going to set fire to all of it so that history will never know what that conversation was like. I will never leave behind a written record of how I felt and how I responded to your infidelity, because I don't, you know, that's going to be a mystery and people can think whatever they want. And it's like, it's like, oh God, direct hit. And so it really comes down to who gets to tell your story after you go. And it's also, I can't help but think about, I don't know much about history except for what, you know, I think like most Americans, I know mostly what I can remember from 10th grade and what I've read in a David McCullough book. And so much of the history gets written by the families, the sons, the grandsons, the great grandsons, for instance, of John Adams, who were determined to make sure that his papers were preserved and the story of John Adams was told the way that the family would like for it to be told. I was looking at the genius notes on the song that we're talking about today, but talking about how, contrary to the picture is being painted of George Washington, of just being the simple farmer who doesn't know how history is going to talk about his actions. So apparently actually worked very, very hard in his retirement to make sure that he at least looked like he was an okay guy, as opposed to the guy who had a very, very bad start to his career and had some good things happen to him afterward. So it really is, there's so much shaping of history that comes along, and it almost seems to add to the tragedy of the end of the play, where Hamilton dies as a young man. He doesn't get the chance to have 10 or 20 years of perspective on his actions as a young man. So his voice gets stilled. And now from that point onward, even every single moment of his life up to and including, did he intend to shoot Aaron Burr or did he intend to miss, is now up for people to interpret, which must be the biggest curse whatsoever of the picture of the man that Lin-Manuel Miranda was painting. So it's a short song, but it's a really nice, it's a short breath that lets you sort of assemble what you've heard before and also really sets you up for everything that's going to come after this, I think.
Extraordinarily well put, Andy. So that is going to do it for this episode of Pod for Ham. This has been History Has Its Eyes on You, a show tune that indeed reverberates throughout the entire piece. And, if I think it's fair to say, is very emblematic of a lot of the message behind the show. Much more important than its runtime may lead you to believe. I'd like to thank my co-panelists once again, Mr. Andy Iannocco. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for another chance to justify the amount of time I've been spending listening to the soundtrack.
And everybody, once again, please rise up for Ms. Camille Washington. How are and was your first trip on the Incomparable a pleasant one, I hope?
Absolutely. I had a great time. Thank you for having me.
I salute you, General. Thank you so much for being a part of it. Up next on the show, Yorktown, the track that is indeed going to get the world turned upside down. I'm Moises Chuyan. This has been Pod for Ham. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back soon. History has its own.